If you're working towards retirement, you want to make every rand count. That means addressing current spending habits, aiming for an achievable living standard when you retire, and using the most tax-efficient savings approaches available. That's easier said than done, and most people accept that they will simply work past retirement age or accept a lower standard of living when they retire. There's a lot to unpack here, so let's get into it. We're joined now once again by Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth. Hi, Adrian. Good to talk to you with the end of the year and Christmas coming up upon us. And it's bonus time for a lot of people. Many people might want to blow that on a holiday or on an expensive gift. Have you got any suggestions for them? Maybe they should be topping up their retirement savings.
Hi, Kieran, Jan. Thanks for having me and thanks for everybody listening in on the podcast. I think that's exactly right. It's that time of the year and people are hopefully in a position where they get a bit extra at the end of the year. And obviously, there's a lot of temptation around and Christmas gifts and children and family and all that stuff, holidays. But it's also a good idea to remind yourself that the tax year end is going to end soon and the new one will be on us. So if you haven't looked at your RA and TFIP contributions for the year, you should really take advantage of that opportunity.
Okay, so you've mentioned retirement annuities and tax-free savings accounts, two very, very important vehicles for people who are planning for retirement. So what about the people who are already maximizing their retirement annuities and tax-free savings accounts? Are they likely to be able to fund their existing lifestyle when they retire, or are they still going to fall short, even though they're maximizing everything that they've got?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, most commonly what we see is that people see contributions to retirement annuities or tax-free savings plans as a bit of a, I'm doing a really good job if I do this. But in reality, what we see when we look at financial plans and how well people are saving is that they don't often make use of the opportunity. So if you haven't, you really should, and you should try and maximize those savings because they are really beneficial. But you're 100% right. I mean, what we see as a sort of as a hygiene factor in terms of it's a non-negotiable. You should be doing this. But even sadly, even if you do take full advantage of those two opportunities, savings do fall short quite often. You know, there's some research on this. Even if you maximize your retirement savings and you maximize your tax-free savings every year, the research shows that if you do this successfully, even over 40 years, the chances are that you won't be able to even fund half of your previous income in retirement. So I think people completely underestimate how much you should be saving towards your retirement, but also then not just by way of retirement annuities and tax-free savings plans, but you'll have to go in excess of that if you've got any hope of having a reasonable standard of living in retirement close to what you had experienced pre-retirement.
Wow. Okay. Now, I guess this needs a complete change in the way that we perceive money, because every rand has future potential. What you save today, you can enjoy the benefits of in the future. How should people be evaluating their spending today in order to maximize savings for future financial security?
I think where people are good is that they evaluate their existing opportunity costs. So I can go on a holiday, or I can buy a new car, or I can save a little bit. And you weigh up your options and you do whatever you think is right. But where I think people tend to struggle is to completely understand what the future trade-offs are of those various decisions. You can, for example, say, well, I really do need a new car. And while I'm at it, I might as well get something I really like and spend a bit extra. But what is the implication of that over the long term? So if you, for example, plan to spend 600,000 rand on a car, in 20 years' time, that 600,000 rand, if it grows at 10% per annum, is going to be just over 4 million rand. So the way to think about it is you're actually spending 4 million rand from your future self. You're essentially taking a debt out from your future self. And that behavior obviously compromises your financial security at a later stage in life. So it's not just about understanding the trade-offs for where you are right now and the options at your disposal right now in terms of where you can spend money or save and that, but it's really understanding what the opportunity costs are and understanding what the full impact is on your future balance sheet 20 years from now And I think normally when people start to look at it from that perspective, they can better appreciate how valuable investment can be and how savings is actually very short-lived gratification.
Right. And when it comes to savings, there are psychological biases that are baked into the way that one actually saves and approaches saving. Maybe just talk about these. How can these biases enter into the picture and actually have a catastrophic or very beneficial effect on your savings?
Yeah, you know, it comes back to my earlier point. Economists have actually developed a word for this. So they call it people's defective telescope. So the inability to accurately assess what the impact is of their decisions today on their lives into the future. And that's now sort of been bannered as a psychological bias. And I mean, this is something we talk about often in terms of how to look at markets and market movements and losses and loss aversion and those things. But I think the defective telescope is something that we don't often talk about, but it's probably one of the more important ones that we really do need to think about, because it's really an enormous challenge, because people can't viscerally feel what it's like to have insufficient funds at 70. And for some people, they fear it, but you really are in a position where you need to decide whether you're going to make life a little bit tougher for yourself now when you're still young and able, potentially, versus really struggling at the age of 70. That hardship sort of exponentially grows. It's a lot tougher to be poor in old age than what it is constrained in a younger age, for example. So, and people's inability to accurately assess that and identify that is what makes it so incredibly difficult.
Final question, Adrian. Ultimately, what differentiates those who retire well from those who fall short?
What we typically see is, people who appreciate the trade-offs and people who address the hygiene factors. They understand that it's not a luxury item to save for retirement. It's like brushing your teeth in the morning. It's just something that needs to happen. You need to do that. You need to think about your financial position going forward. It's not about just living month to month. And it unfortunately does mean for most that you won't be able to get to many of the things that you would like to enjoy at your current age. But the huge benefit is that although you're restricting yourself slightly now, is that you're doing yourself a huge service in your future self for when you really need financial assistance most. And that's where we often see people who have saved successfully and at times have really constrained themselves in younger ages, where in older age, they're really comfortable. They don't need to worry about finances. They don't need to worry about medical expenses. They can still afford to lend a hand, you know, whenever there's a family member that might need a little bit of support. Because it's also very difficult for parents to see kids struggling and trying to make it through and not being in a position to help. Or if you have a serious medical condition, just simply not being able to afford whatever needs to get done. I mean, those are fairly severe things that you need to think about. And if you put it into perspective relative to buying a car today, you need to look at those two options in context and say, you know what, I need to be careful here. I need to really think about my trade-offs. And I need a car, but I don't need the fanciest car around. I can do with something a bit more modest, and I'll thank myself 10 times over a little bit later in life. I think that's really the crux of it.
Definitely some food for thought there as we approach Christmas time and all those bonuses. Think about the future maybe more than the present. I want to thank you very much, Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth, for joining us once again.
Thank you so much, Kieran.